All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Professor Harvey, I want to move to, what happened the September 6th, not September 6th, why am I forgetting it?
January
6th.
Yeah.
January 6th, Professor Harvey. After all of this time, why can't we get to the root of who caused this?
Because it's so vast, and a lot of people know who caused it, but,
yeah.
You know, there are timid individuals. Like I said, you can't get anything done in Washington. It's scared of its own shadow. It's running away from the democratic process, which is what it's supposed to do. And as a consequence, we're seeing nothing get done, and it's really frustrating to all of us because there's no one thing I can say about the Democrats. They are not mean or nasty enough to want to fight for democracy. The Republicans, for anarchy, they will fight like hell. We saw what they did with the Hillary Clinton thing. Their right. job was to destroy Hillary Clinton so that when she ran in 2016, she'd be so scarred up that nobody would want her. And that's what they did. They started off with her emails, and then they went on to Benghazi. I'll never forget that 15-hour hearing that they drug her through in December of 2015. They drug her through the mud on that just to scar her up. And one of the Republicans, congressmen, because they had control of the House at the time, and one of them said, we accomplished our job. Our job was to make her look bad and skin her up. And amazingly, the moment Donald Trump won the election, even though he lost the popular vote by almost 3 million, the moment he got in the White House, it stopped. All of that wrangling about what happened in Benghazi and the whole bit and the emails, you haven't heard anything else from them. And the same thing happened when they impeached Bill Clinton. All of those women they kept dragging out there. And the moment Bill Clinton was impeached, all of those women went away until Donald Trump drug them up in the 2016 campaign. So it's amazing how they are all of a sudden, and the same thing is true with the budget. They raised all of that hell about, the budget and how we're overspending when the Democrats are in the White House. But the moment when Donald Trump was in, you didn't hear a peep about them overspending. That man spent $7 trillion in 4 years, and you didn't hear a peep out of them. You didn't hear them complaining about Social Security or any of that. They kept their mouths shut.
Go ahead, Professor Harvey.
So the tragedy is that the American people, at least the ones who vote for those individuals, don't seem to see the irony. That there's a contradiction is there. I've always said that there's a contradiction of the conservatives, and that perhaps the late Rush Limbaugh said it best when Donald Trump got in, and he came out and just openly said, we were talking about balancing the budget. We've never been concerned about balancing no budget. It's all about power, and he's right. He was right. That's all they want is power. Once they get the power, they're satisfied. They don't care.
Professor Harvey, we've been watching the whining and gnashing of teeth and sniveling by Republicans here at the state level, on a national level, about the Democrats cheating in the election. And they have no proof, but they keep saying they cheated. And yet, all this money, all this time has passed, and they still keep saying the Democrats cheated.
And they're plotting.
Yeah, and they're plotting. And here we're sitting here and watching this, and it just continues to flummox me, Professor Harvey, that one party can do this, and the other party sits back and takes it.
Well, the travesty of it is, Earl, that this thing is so widespread and deep that, my concern is that there are a lot of some of those Democrats, and I would say a lot of them, I shouldn't say some, a lot of them, that are afraid of their own shadow. And a lot of them wish that they could do what the Republicans are doing. That's one of the reasons why you get so stagnant. And to keep in mind, that at one time in the 1950s and 60s, in fact, all the way up to 1980, the majority of the politicians, House, Senate, and the state assemblies that existed in the South, the old Jim Crow South, were Democrats. Keep that in mind. And a good example of that old throwback group is Chuck Manzin of West Virginia. Old Southern Democrats who were in Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson was one of them.
Yeah.
So those individuals still got some of that mindset in them, the ones who have survived. And the thing that's so frightening now is that not only was it relegated to the old Jim Crow South, or what I call the old ex-Confederate South, which consisted of 11 states, but since that time, they've expanded to about 22 to 23 states where the conservative agenda is now part of the norm. And even some of those western and midwestern states and eastern states that used to be Republican have now switched, or at least moderate Democrats have now switched to conservative Republicans.
Yeah, well, see, Professor Harvey, that's the part of this. You know, when I was young, I can say that, you know, the cities and states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, those were clearly going to be Democratic strongholds because unions and blue collar workers were Democrats, and they saw themselves as, you know, the importance of the union and all of those things. But not anymore. Those unionized people have turned into Republicans.
Sure they have. Earl, that is one of the best, and I'm glad you touched on that, because that's one of the best. A lot of the people are looking for the whys. One of the main reasons for the whys, if you look at the history of the unions, unions have to democratize our economy, and it have to build on the middle class. But there are two major quick secrets that we need to look at that's causing this change. The first is that those unions, back in the day, ever since the turn of the 20th century, those unions were largely populated by white males. Those white males have abandoned the union concept, and they have now become conservative.
Yeah, they have now.
That's one of the stories. The other one is this, that as the unions have died, more and more we are seeing the death of the American middle class. What has made our democracy work, Earl, has been the American middle class. It was the envy of the world. Everyone modeled themselves as our democracy mainly because of the opportunity of the middle class. You knew that you were never going to be super rich. Only a rare few reached that pinnacle.
Right, right.
But you could develop a lifestyle to support a family of four or five, you know, you and your wife, you know, and the wives start working in the 1960s.
Buy a home,
you know, get you a couple of truck and a car, a couple of dogs.
Put the money away to send the kids to college, save a couple of
dollars. Put the money to send the kids to college, and the kids, you know, then they would go off to college and come back and either help out mom and dad retire at their graceful old age, or they would naturally get off and start their own families. But the American middle class is dead now. College kids graduate never more debt than their parents, you know, and previous parents before them combined. So it's like we're punishing kids for going off to college. The system is doing that automatically. And now as we take a look at more and more rural America, their children and everything are trapped because one of their greatest dreams was to leave the rural areas, go to the urban areas, get that education or that middle class upgrade, and then they could move on to the next generation. But there's a stopgap, and we're hemorrhaging right now.
And rural America used to be blue. And now rural area has decided to, you know, that blue is the problem. That Democrats have caused us all of this. The issues that we're dealing with is because of Democratic policies.
They're blaming the wrong people, just like they blame immigrants, just like they blame people of color. They want to blame everybody but accept responsibility ourselves. And see, this is where I get into some serious issues. Now, the other issue that I've noticed, and I was reading an article about that today on a Fox channel, and they were somebody of these state senate seats and legislative bodies all over the country now are passing laws to give more parents powers on dictating what their
they teach.
Can
yeah,
learn.
Right.
Now, you know, my thing is, doggone it, I understand that we have certain rights as parents. I know, 'cause my wife and I, we had to do battle with schools on several fronts. My mother had to do battle when we were coming up, but just as she was with the NAACP, and she would find a junkyard dog in a phone booth and close the door when they go in there. That's just the way she was. But, you know, in terms of what's happening now,